Environment and Natural Resources Committee will come to order. Today's business is continuing on with our confirmation process, and we are considering the appointees to the newly created Clean Water Council. There are a total of 23 members, including 19 appointed by the governor, and 4 non-voting representatives. So we have to consider and 18 of the 19 non-agency members have been appointed by the governor. And there is currently a vacancy for one of the appointments, the tribal government representative. So we are going to be considering 18 candidates for the Clean Water Council. What I thought we could do, since there are so many, why don't we bring up 4 of you at a time, and just each of you can just kind of take a minute to introduce yourself, a little bit about your background and why you want to be on the council, and then while you're doing that, we have your information here that we can review if anyone has any questions. Why don't the 4 of you come up? And we can start from left to right. Go ahead and introduce yourself, and just give us a second after you give us your name to find your little packet of information. Go ahead.
Senator Chaudhry and
committee. My name is Marilyn
Bernhardt. All right. Yes. Oh, your information is right on top. Welcome to the.
Oh dear.
Thank you for being so efficient. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself. Give us a little bit of a background on yourself.
Yes, like I said, my name is Marilyn Johnson, and I work for Redwood Soil and Water Conservation District.
Thank you.
I am the district administrator there, and I have worked for the district for many years. And as a result of working with the district for many years, I have had the opportunity to implement many different conservation programs. And when the Clean Water Legacy Act was introduced, I thought, this is probably one of the best conservation programs that will be able to improve and protect our natural resources. And so I thought that with my past experience with all the other conservation programs and knowing that water is our most precious natural resources, I thought that the experience that I had working with the Soil and Water Conservation District would lend itself to the trying to implement this program. So I felt that just my past experience with working with the programs would give me that opportunity to work with this program.
Great. Well, thank you. Ms. Bernhardtson, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Pamela Blixt, so I'll be probably number 2.
Oh, wonderful.
Right, perfect.
You're in your pile.
Great.
I'm a manager, we're called managers in Watershed District, parlance as per statute. I'm a manager for the Minnehaha Creek Watershed District, which lies in 27 cities and 2 counties, 180 square miles. I've been a manager on the board for about 15 years. And as part of my tenure on the board, I've also served on the Association of Minnesota Watershed Districts, so I've done a lot of work on a statewide basis as well. I'm currently the chair of the Metro chapter for the Association of Watershed Districts. In my tenure on the Minnehaha Creek Board, we've done a lot of work on water quality improvement. We have a number of major assets in our district, including Lake Minnetonka and all the lakes in the city of Minneapolis. And we've done a number of projects to improve water quality, so I hope to bring that experience to the board and to help guide the council in wise decision-making and how we make allocations for the limited resources in terms of funds that we'll have available to us.
Great. Thank you. Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, Senators, my name is William Moore. And I'm being considered for the slot representing the Metropolitan Council.
Great.
Currently, I'm the General Manager of Environmental Services for the Metropolitan Council. My duties include oversight of the regional wastewater system, which provides wastewater treatment services to 104 communities in the metropolitan area, consisting of about 2 million customers. I'm also in charge of water resources planning for the council, which gets into issues such as water supply and non-point source pollution. And the council obviously has a major role in water quality issues in the metropolitan area.
Thank you.
Good morning, Senators. My name is David Bennett, so I should be near the top of the pile also. I represent or have been appointed to represent the fisheries interests, sport fisheries interests to the Clean Water Council. I am a past president, 7 years of the Lake Superior Steelhead Association. I've been a board member of the Lake Superior Steelhead Association for 25 years. I'm also the secretary of the Greater Lake Superior Foundation and have served in that position for 15 years. I'm a charter member of the DNR Budget Oversight Committee for the expenditure of trout and salmon stamp funds and have served in that capacity as a volunteer since the committee's inception in the early 90s. My professional experience is I am an engineer and I work on industrial wastewater treatment issues. And in that capacity, I have performed projects all over the United States and the world, for that matter. And I wish to serve on this council to represent the interests of the fisheries, because obviously our sport is very dependent upon clean water.
Let me ask, because you're the first four at the table, what is the Clean Water Council there to do? And what have you kind of talked about amongst yourselves regarding how you're going to accomplish those goals? What will be the function of the Clean Water Council? We know it's to advise on water, clean water issues, but how will you be doing that? Have you figured that out? I know there was, you've been talking about that since your first meeting, but have you made any progress on how you're going to approach these issues? To anyone, and all of you don't have to answer.
Mr. Chairman, Senators, I'll take a shot at it. I think the first couple of meetings were just really trying to get the committee up to speed on a number of water quality issues around the state. And so the next couple of meetings will really set out the work program for the committee. But basically, it in my view, it would be trying to give guidance on where dollars ought to be spent in trying to clean up impaired waters within the state.
So how will you do that? Will you issue resolutions? Will you vote on proposed legislation? Will you just kind of provide kind of general advice? And
yeah, Mr. Chairman,
has that been figured out?
I think a lot of that stuff is still in discussion, but there would be a report, and I think it's being talked about at least every 1 to 2 years, that would go to the legislature with recommendations on what the council thinks would be appropriate. But there is a lot of work to be done in trying to figure out the framework of the council. We're really, I think, again, just at the initial stages of trying to work through this, but there would be definitely reports going to the back to the legislature.
Did any of you serve on the G16?
No.
Okay.
Although there are, Mr. Chairman, there is at least one person was on G16.
Okay.
Is serving.
Okay. So one of the topics that was raised, not necessarily anything official, but a potential that Clean Water Council could be thought of as almost a kind of a formalized G16. That could kind of take over at least take over the work that the G16 was doing and make that work ongoing. So, okay, are there questions for these candidates?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't have a question, but I do happen to know one of the individuals, Marilyn Bernhardson, very well, because she's from my district in Redwood County. I think she's an excellent choice for the council. A little bit about Redwood County. Redwood and Renville County are the number one and two corn and soybean producing counties in the state. So Ms. Bernhardson comes with a lot of experience with agriculture and preventing impairment of water, and also for soil conservation. And Redwood County was one of the very high enrollee counties in the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, and I know Ms. Bernhardson was very active in that program. So she's going to bring a lot of good advice from the non-point source pollution. And I'm pleased to see at this panel, the four that are before us now. It appears to me like a couple of these, maybe all three of the others, have a lot of experience with point source. So I think it's a good a variety of expertise that they bring.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chu, and I apologize I missed the very beginning and the very first introduction. But I'd really like it if I could have each of the candidates just say something briefly about, you know, kind of the big picture from your perspective about what, you know, setting aside the process of the council that you're going through, trying to figure out what your planning process and recommendation process will be. Just personally, what is your sense of the biggest problems facing our water quality in Minnesota, and what would you think we should do about it? You know, just kind of off the top of your head, that would be really helpful.
Mr. Bennett, would you like to start?
Certainly. I think, in general, we have been reactive in water pollution control efforts. We need to be more proactive. We recognize some things today that are tomorrow's issues, and rather than wait for the environmental degradation and the difficulty to undo things that have been done, react to them now by being proactive is a direction that we need to look at.
Mr. Moore?
Mr. Chairman, Senators, I think the biggest issue facing the state is that there is a requirement for total daily maximum load studies to be done on impaired rivers, and that work needs to be done before, frankly, much else can be discharged into any rivers. I think just getting the state resources directed towards dealing with getting those studies underway is a critical thing for the state to accomplish, and I think that's one of the things that the Clean Water Council will try to help the Pollution Control Agency address. But PMDL, I think, is probably the biggest issue that I can think of.
Senator Anderson and members of the committee.
Blixt.
My experience, I'm just thinking back of all the work that my watershed district has done, and one of the things I think that is our greatest challenge, but also our greatest opportunity. That is us. It's each one of us, and each one of us needs to do a lot of work in our own lives. Let people know that. I think we can all be a part of a solution. I mean, government certainly has a role to play, and we certainly can put resources to make changes in terms of infrastructure and in terms of the some of the things that can clean up water, but we all can do it as well in our own yards and on our own farms. And we just need, I think, to get that message out and include everybody in letting everybody know that we can be a part of this.
Ms. Bernhardtson.
Mr. Chair and Committee, I think probably when we think about water and the problems we are having with water, like had been said earlier, it goes back a long way, and we have to look at, like she said, at ourselves first and trying to find out that balance between nature and between the rural, between recreation, and trying to find that balance where everyone can have the water use that they deserve and need to have, and trying to figure out how we can clean up the messes that we have made. And it's very difficult when you look at the non-point source, and that's where we seem to be having the most problems. And that is where I feel that, as my experience with working with non-point, I think that that's where we need to start looking at, is how can we become more responsible ourselves and trying to make certain that we strike that balance and getting the waters back to where they are usable. We know they'll never be back to the way that they were, but we have to be able to strike that balance so that they are usable, swimmable, and fishable. And I think non-point is one of the biggest areas where we're going to have to start working, because the TMDLs are going to be a major, major problem in trying to identify all of them.
Okay. Thank you very much for being here. We'll take the next four people. Let me try and maybe just start from the top of the stack. Earl Bukowski, Brian Davis, John Greer, Delvin Haig. Not everyone is here, but many are. So,
Mr. Chair, would you say those names again?
Mr. Greer is not here? Okay. Earl Bukowski, Brian Davis, John Greer is not here today, and Delvin Haig. And then how about Scott Hoisey? Made it. Great. Well, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself.
Mr. Chair, Senators, I'm Earl Bukowski. Currently, I'm the Benton County Commissioner, and I'm serving as representative for the out-state counties. Yeah, for myself, as a person on county board, I've tried to be the natural resource person. I've been on the Elk River Watershed. I've served on our Water Resources Committee. I also serve on the Planning Commission and also on the Conservation Resource and Development among my committees.
Why would you like to be on the Clean Water Council?
I'd like to be on the Clean Water Council because our county is very fast developing, and I feel that learn on the Clean Water Council will help me to do a better job in that, and seeing that the future waters of our county are much cleaner.
Okay, thank you. Could we have them all introduce themselves,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll take questions?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and Senators. My name is Brian Davis. I'm an environmental attorney and have been for more than 30 years. Not a litigator and haven't been. EPA, business, and academic experience. I'm currently an adjunct at the U of M Law School teaching business environmental law, and I'm an adjunct at St. Thomas undergraduate teaching environmental law. I'm a member of the Minnesota Environmental Initiative, the Friends of the Mississippi River, Audubon Society, the Trust for Public Lands, and the Minnesota State Bar Association's Environment and Natural Resources Law Council, which I chair. I believe that this is a very important opportunity for me. I've intentionally transitioned my career more time for public service, community service, both in teaching and in I've been serving on security and some management East Metro.
Mr. Davis, could you turn your microphone a little bit towards you? Yeah, great. Thank you.
And I feel that that the work of the Clean Water Council is going to be very important for the future of the state, and would like to provide my experience and consensus-building interests in supporting the council. Thank you.
Which environmental organization are you? There's some environmental. Some of these appointments represent various groups that are required in statute. And so which environmental group are you?
I belong to a number of them. I'm very active in the Minnesota Environmental Initiative, although I'm not here as a representative of that organization. I'm on that board, which is a very collaborative organization. I'm a member of the Friends of the Mississippi River, the St. Paul Audubon Society, the Trust for Public Lands, the State Bar's Environmental Council.
Thank you. Welcome.
Mr. Chair, Senators, my name is Del Hague. I'm a council member from Buffalo. I've been on the city council there for the past 18 years. And I am the League of Minnesota Cities, one of the League of Minnesota Cities representatives to this council. And being part of the League of Minnesota Cities, a few years ago I was past president of the League of Minnesota Cities. I served on the Energy, Environment, Natural Resources Committee for the National League of Cities for 5 years. I was past chair of the Small Cities Council for the National League of Cities. A few years ago, I was president of the Minnesota Wastewater Operator Association. By trade, I am a certified water wastewater operator. I'm a retired public works director from the city of Montrose, Minnesota. Back in 1988, I retired from the United States Air Force, serving in disaster preparedness. I grew up on a small dairy farm in Eden Valley, Minnesota. And a number of years ago, I was a wastewater trainer for about 20 years. I am committed to the environment, appreciate the water that we have in Minnesota, the 10,000-plus lakes. The cities of Minnesota are also committed towards clean water and trying to do the right things at the right time. And because I am semi-retired right now, I feel that I have the time to commit to this organization and will try to do the best job that I can. So. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good morning, Chairman and Senators. I'm Scott Hazy. I represent the Ag Organization and also a member of the I'm chair of the Carver County Farmers Union.
And we appreciate you taking time away from your plant.
Thank you, Senator. It is a busy time of year for us. So, I am, like I said, president of the Carver County Farmers Union. I'm also a member of our county Water and Environmental and Natural Resource Committee, also called our Wiener Committee. I'm a board member of Bungers Creamery in Bungers, Minnesota. I'm a board member of the Friends of the Minnesota Valley Board. I'm also chairman of our church organization. Past president of the State Soil and Water Conservation District and member of the 10-year member of our local Soil and Conservation District, and I was a past national chair of our Great Lakes Committee. I think my experience as a dairy producer and a member of my past organization, I have great wealth, I think, to bring to this committee, and I look forward to great things from it.
Hey, thank you. Senator Anderson, you had a question.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think I'll just ask the same question, or similar question, if I may, just to ask each of you to just tell us what you think is the biggest problem facing the water quality in Minnesota, and what do you think we should do about it?
One of the big problems, I think, you hear?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Bukowski.
I think that what we can do about it is educate the people of especially the outstate area There's when you get into the northern lakes, a lot of those have not seen the pressure that the southern lakes and rivers of our state have, and that an education process to help these people understand that the little bit that they do is causing the pollution, because all of us are doing something. And so with a good education to, and especially to those people, that I believe that will help in cleaning up the lakes.
While you're at the table, the phosphorus load coming down from St. Cloud down to kind of my area, very popular sporting area at the Coon Rapids Dam. A lot of that phosphorus is coming down to that dam area. Do you have any experience or thoughts on how we can address that situation?
And one of the things that concerns me is a lot of those are shallow lakes, especially the ones that empty into the Mississippi River through the Sauk River and the Elk River. And a lot of the phosphorus is being created by the plants that are growing in it and just the dying of them. And I know that in Elk River watershed, that in the Briggs Lake chain, that they've gotten a machine to harvest some of the weeds that are growing in the lake, and that has been a big help in cleaning out some of the phosphorus or cutting it back. And I know it would be a very expensive way to go, but it is a thought that we need to somehow clean out some of the vegetation that's growing within these shallow lakes to help get that phosphorus out. It's one thought I had. The other thing is that these lakes are fastly developing, and it's there's septic systems around them that are not at a very deep level and are close to the lakes. So we need to work at moving them back and getting them cleaned up, or else having community septic systems created around these lakes to get that phosphorus out of them.
Does wastewater treatment contribute at all?
I'm sure it does contribute some, although the systems that are in place have been doing a pretty good job complying with the PCA rules to avoid as much as they possibly can.
Okay, thank you. So anyone else who wants to answer Senator Anderson's big picture question?
Well, I believe it's very important for the council to play not only a public education role, but a very significant role in encouraging action on the part of everyone, because everyone, I've used the phrase to my students about even corporate executives need to drink clean water and breathe clean air. This is not something that is a partisan or a divisive issue. It's an issue we can all agree on and work toward. And so, in particular, students are, I believe, a great resource that could be encouraged to think about and then act on environmental issues like clean water. I know that there's a lot of interest. There's a lot of question among students that I visit with about, well, what exactly do I do? And I'm hoping that the Clean Water Council will help the PCA and other agencies and organizations in encouraging a broad consensus toward action in support of our waters.
Mr. Haig?
Mr. Chair, Senators, one of the earlier participants also mentioned being proactive versus reactive, and I certainly would agree with that. And the second point is the TMDLs. Right now there's a lot of unknowns out there as far as where we're at, what we need to do. So the whole process on doing a TMDL, I think, needs to be speeded up so we can do the right thing. Otherwise, we're just kind of shooting in the dark. And it was mentioned the phosphorus limits or phosphorus in streams. A number of years ago, phosphorus was taken out of laundry detergent, and we can still clean our clothes pretty good with no phosphorus in laundry detergent. Phosphorus was taken out of lawn fertilizer a few years ago. Our grass is still green, still growing, and but yet we still continue to have phosphorus in dishwasher detergent, other commercial type cleaners. And I think if we were to cut back on that, so in other words, instead of trying to take phosphorus out at the end of the pipe, take it out so it doesn't get in the pipe in the first place. So like I say, there are options to reducing some of the phosphorus, and especially in wastewater plants, if we can keep the phosphorus out, wastewater plants won't have to take it out at the end. So thank you.
Thank you. Senator Scogin, just follow up to what he said?
Or no.
Let's have Mr. Hoise. And am I pronouncing that right?
It's Hazy.
Hazy. I apologize.
Yeah.
Answer, and then we'll get to your question.
I think, like was mentioned earlier, Senators, I think education is part of it. We have several impaired waters in our county. We're having open houses on. And it's just the little things that people can do just to try to keep the water clean, like the leaves and the grass clippings going down the drain sewers and stuff like that. So education, I think, is my biggest challenge for people.
Senator Scogin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hazy, just tell me a little bit about the work you did with the Great Lakes Committee.
Our Great Lakes is...
Mr. Hazy.
I'm sorry, Senator. Our Great Lakes Committee was an 8-member, just like Mr. Huntley was working, Representative Huntley was working on. He was past chair of the Great Lakes Committee. He was part of the political side of it, and we were part of the working side of it, I should say, but we both worked. But we were in charge of the Great Lakes Conservation District. There's like 750 of them within the basin of the Great Lakes. And I was chair of that committee, and mostly our work dealt with the conservation districts that were in the basin, and the work that we could get, and monies that we could get through them through either EPA or some Great Lakes Committee work and stuff like that. So it was, we met about 3 times a year. It was, you know, very enjoyable working with that association.
Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Davis, I was pleased to see your resume here and all the legal work you've done in the environmental side. I'm curious how much time you have spent with the Federal Clean Water Act and the associated rules. And if you've done work there, taught in that area.
Well,
Mr. Davis.
I did do work with the Clean Water Act when I was an attorney for federal EPA in Chicago Region 5. I also did work as an attorney with the General Counsel's Office out of Washington on Clean Water Act issues, mainly municipal grant and bid protest issues, so all of them related to water. Of course, clean water and the Clean Water Act is a critical part of the collection of statutes that have been enacted and are being enforced at the federal and state and local level to protect our environment, and so it is part of what I teach in both of my classes.
Thank you. I'm pleased to hear that. I think those of us that worked on the Clean Water legacy became aware that there's a lot of legal ramifications and a lot of rules and court cases that enter into the Federal Clean Water Act, and one going on before our Supreme Court now, the Maple Lake Annandale decision that we've been waiting for several months now. So individuals learn it in the law on both sides of those issues and make some pretty strong arguments. I'm pleased to see your expertise here.
Thanks. Senator Anderson.
If I may, Mr. Chair, if I can ask another question. At first, I have to thank Senator Fredrickson. It's not very often that we hear anyone suggest that legal expertise is a good thing. I happen to agree with you, but we don't hear that around here very much, and I think it is important to have that background. But I guess my question is about science, because I don't have any science background. Most legislators are not scientists. There's a few of us that are, but not very many. And we come from all walks of life. But and it looks to me like most of the members that we're looking at are not scientists either. And so let me just ask you what you think about the importance of getting scientific input on these decisions, because we grapple with that all the time as legislators. And, you know, when you're talking about some of the ideas that you have for how to clean up phosphorus or whatever, do you think it's important to rely more on, kind of the average person's point of view, or to rely on scientific advice? Just your thoughts on that.
Whoever would like to answer.
Mr. Senator, or Mr. Chair, Senators, one of the issues with that is certainly the TMDLs, and the TMDLs are done scientifically. Good information is gotten out of that, and so we really need to rely on the information that we receive back from the TMDLs for the various areas of the state. So scientific, I agree with you, scientific data is important, and this is where the TMDLs come in at.
Is the Clean Water Council staffed by the PCA? Is that, you had your first meeting at the PCA. Is that where you're going to meet regularly, and is it staffed by the PCA?
PCA people, Mr. Chair, Senators, PCA people are involved in our staffing, and I guess I'm not exactly sure who is the real, but I think for the most part it is PCA.
Okay. So you have that advantage to access to information. Yes, Mr. Davis.
Mr. Chair and Senators, I believe it's the role of the Clean Water Council to support the agencies and the legislature and the scientists that those organizations bring to bear on the issues. So that when I think, for example, of building consensus, it's consensus in support of good science. I think that's very critical and inherent in what needs to be done. To gain support for actions that aren't really environmentally sound and protective and sustainable over the long term would not be in anyone's best interest. So I think we need to be very careful about that, and that's certainly the intention and everything that I've heard at our meetings.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Ingebrigtsen had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I come from the very large farming community, West Central Minnesota. Also, we have a lot of beautiful, beautiful lakes, rivers, and streams. And my question would be to Mr. Hayes.
Hazy,
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Over the years, you know, you can't help it. You know, everybody blames everybody for everything, and the farmers kind of take it on the chin once in a while for contaminating water. And I just want to know what your feelings are about that particular type of a comment, and what are your... What are your distributors, the folks that distribute to you the farm chemicals and all the agricultural stuff that you spread on the fields? Do you think they're doing a good job? Is there a lot of science still going there?
Mr. Hayes,
how does that work?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I think the farmers in general, and I've seen by general, probably 90% of them or 95% are doing a very good job of taking care of the land, ditch buffers and everything. Your question referring back to the chemical suppliers or fertilizer suppliers, I think they are so regulated now they have to do a good job or else the Department of Ag and other agencies will come down on them very severely. So, follow up?
Yeah, just a follow up, yeah. And I agree with you. I think the farmers certainly are going to take care of the land. I mean, they make their living doing that, and it's not an implication at all that they're contaminating. It just seems as though I hear that quite regular, and I think it's rather unfair because I think there's been a lot of research done in that area, and they're doing a much better job. So, thanks.
Yeah. Senator Ingebrigtsen, half of Minnesota's landmass is in agriculture, and so you know, we have to be concerned with what happens on the land, whether it's in agriculture or not. In terms of what happens to our water supply.
Absolutely.
And so if half of our land is in agriculture, that agriculture is a big part of the equation. Okay. All right, we have to move on to the next folks. So thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Mr. Geronimus, Mr. Peterson. Mr. Smith.
Mr. Smith sent a note saying he's not going to be
here. Mr. Smith is not here.
But Mr. Chair, I...
Sarah Stroman. And Ms. Swaghammer. Ms. Swaghammer is not here. Mr. Torkelson.
He's not here.
Mr. Vo- and I remember Mr. Torkelson was not going to be here. Mr.
Mr. Vogel?
Mr. Vogel is not here. I'll speak on his behalf later.
Did you say Colbert was here?
I don't know.
Mr. Colbert? Okay. Oh, you are. Okay, very good.
Mr. Colbert is here.
All right. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Senators. My name is Dave Geronimus. It's under the J pile, not the G pile.
Welcome to the committee.
My background is air, water, and waste. Over the past 45 years, been in that field and ecology. Started out working private ecological research up in the Quetico. Went from there to land management with U.S. Forest Service, and then the last 30 years I've been working for Minnesota Power. Retired a year and a half ago as a corporate environmental compliance officer for the company. We worked in 42 different states and in all air and water issues. I'm representing Greater Minnesota, the Northern business representative. The reason I like to be on this committee is that areas I mentioned, and I have time to apply the expertise I've gained over these 45 years. I've got grandchildren, and I'd just love to see water quality better for them than it was for us. I think I can do a good job of balancing both the business needs and environmental quality.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Stephen Peterson. I'm senior staff scientist for BAE Systems in Fridley, Minnesota. And along with Dave, I'm a business representative. If he's the north, I guess I'm the south. My background since getting out of college has been in environmental affairs. I was the Great Lakes Basin Commission representative for Governor Cui and the Upper Mississippi River Basin Commission before getting into industrial area, working in environmental compliance issues, and now working in environmental management systems and tracking European approach to chemical management. I'm also the chair of the State Stormwater Steering Committee, working with the Pollution Control Agency and cross-functional team of folks looking at stormwater. And as you had been hearing, we have a very cross-functional team in the Clean Water Council, and that's going to be our strength. We're able to bring business, agriculture, communities, counties, watershed districts together on this issue, and that's going to be our strength. And to answer Senator Anderson's question, that's the big issue that we have as well. We can become, if you will, the bully pulpit for clean water in Minnesota. We can turn this organization and its strengths into addressing the issues. Business has had years of experience in addressing point source, and we believe we have a lot to share and a lot to work with on that issue with the rest of the state in addressing our clean water requirements.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Stroman.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Sarah Stroman, and I have been appointed to the Clean Water Council as a representative of an environmental organization. I work for the Minnesota Land Trust. I am the conservation director for the Land Trust Central Region. Although I've been appointed as a representative of an environmental organization, I also bring to the Clean Water Council local government experience. I serve on the city council in the city of Ramsey, and in that capacity I've also served with the Lower Rum River Watershed Management Organization. I also bring a science background to the council. I have a bachelor's degree in biology and a master's degree in environmental management and conservation biology. So I'm looking forward to digging into the science in this regard. one of the things I think I also bring to the council is the perspective of the relationship between what happens on our land and how that affects our water, since I do work for a land, primarily a land conservation organization, although much of our focus in what we do relates to how it impacts the water. Finally, just on a personal note, one of the reasons I wanted to serve on the Clean Water Council is I am nearly a lifelong Minnesotan, and as I shared with my colleagues on the council, I have a 14-month-old child. Fishy was the fourth word he learned to say, and he is very excited, and he's practicing with his fishing pole and looking forward to getting out and fishing when the season opens here. And I really want him to be able to eat those fish that he catches. That's important to me and my family. So that's one of the other reasons I wanted to serve on this committee.
Thank you. And I can't help but point out to the members Ms. Stroman's work on ecotourism. Something we're going to be hearing a lot more of in the future. Colbert.
Mr. Chair, Senators, my name is Chris Colbert, and I represent or have been appointed to the Clean Water Council to represent the hunting groups of the state. I also have a science background with a master's degree in biology. My training has been in molecular biology as well as clinical and public health microbiology. I've also had coursework in water testing and ecology of aquatic environments. As far as volunteer work, I serve on the Big Game Subcommittee for the Budgetary Oversight Committee of the Department of Natural Resources. As an avid outdoorsman, I've always had a great passion for Minnesota waters. I believe that clean water is crucial to the health of Minnesota's environment, as well as aquatic and terrestrial life, and the economy of the state in itself. I grew up along the Root River in southeast Minnesota and spent most of my free time in and around Minnesota's rivers, streams, and lakes. And I've been disturbed over the years to see the level of impairment of these waters. I've represented hunting groups, namely Bluffland Whitetails Association out of the southeast Minnesota, for several years with the Department of Natural Resources, the public, and numerous stakeholder groups. And when I saw that a position existed on the Clean Water Council for a hunting representative, I saw this as an opportunity for me to serve, hopefully serve, by utilizing my background in science as well as my work with hunting groups and my passion for Minnesota surface waters. Thank you.
Mr. Colbert, what is your current employment?
I work for the Mayo Foundation as a manager of a genomic research core laboratory.
I would call that science.
science beyond what we reckon.
Okay, questions for these witnesses?
Mr. Fredrickson. Chairman, I don't have a question, but I like the comments I heard from all of you that you want to be proactive and be involved up front in pushing what we can do to clean up our waters. I think that's very important. It helps us, I think, do our job as legislators if there's groups pointing us in the right direction and giving us support on what we should be doing and can be doing. So I would encourage you to be very proactive and to make this council a motivating force for cleaning up our waters.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm encouraged to see there is a lot of science background among a lot of the members, which I wasn't aware of, and that I think is very helpful. Can I ask Mr. Geronimus, with all your background in energy, which is an interest of mine, I just want to ask you about what you think about the impact of climate change as a future part of our environmental challenges and how that would affect clean water issues.
Mr. Geronimus.
Mr. Chairman, Senators, climate change is 5 years ago people were doubting whether it was happening. I think now the consensus is that it is happening, and when we look in the mirror, we are the problem. It's going to have an impact on water quality also. Exactly how it'll do it, I'm not sure, but anytime you change temperatures and change the way we do business, it's going to impact water. What the scientists that are in that game have said is that warming is going to occur in Minnesota, and the forests in the north are boreal forest is going to move further north, and more prairie moving further north. So it'll.
Other thoughts from the witnesses on climate change? Okay. Was there anyone else here that we hadn't called up yet? I thought that was it. There's a number of appointees who are not here. Mr. Vogel, Senator Parasol, you wanted to talk about Mr. Vogel?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I know we have a paper. I've shuffled this paper so often I can't remember if anything's in alpha order anymore. Here we are. Mr. Vogel, as you look at his information provided, has been active in local government quite a bit, and he's a member of the business community, obviously, in the chamber. He owns a couple banks and has been very active in the communities. You notice that he lives in Scott County, but he also is very active in the Lakeville community, which is Dakota County, because that's his base of business and in many other activities of his. So he has been a great asset to the Scott County Board and to the Vermilion Watershed District, which is something we've heard a lot about in the last several years. And I note here that he also was on the Land Use Advisory Committee before the Metropolitan Council, which I wasn't really aware of until I saw this, and the Emergency Services Board from the metropolitan area. So I would urge his recommendation for confirmation today.
Okay. And then Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, I know what two of the other individuals also, if you want comments about.
Go ahead.
I know Paul Torkelson quite well. I suspect he's an appointee from the Farm Organizations, Farm Bureau. He's a vice president of the state vice president of the Farm Bureau. He has a bachelor's degree from Gus Davis Adolphus College. He's been named outstanding ridge-till farmer for Watonwan County and also the Midwest region. And I strongly suspect the reason he's not here, if you look at his resume under employment, he grows 1,400 acres of corn and soybeans. I suspect he's on a tractor looking at a corn planter. But I feel he's an excellent choice.
Mr. Torkelson did indicate that he would be planting this morning.
And Mr. Chairman, you also know Deborah Swackheimer, as does Senator Vickerman and Senator Anderson. She has appeared a couple times before our LCCMR. She's a very knowledgeable professor at the University of Minnesota. I'm pleased to see her on the council.
Very good. Does Senator Dibble, you haven't had a chance yet.
Was Senator Anderson going to add to Ms. Swackhammer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, go ahead, Senator.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to repeat more or less what Senator Frederickson said, that I know Dr. Swackhammer is extremely knowledgeable and one of our experts from the university on water issues. So she's very, very well qualified for this position.
And she's kind of one of the coordinators for the statewide conservation plan. So I think that'll be a valuable link to this council. Senator Dibble.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I know Lewis Smith quite well. He's one of my constituents. If you look at his information, you can see that he served as counsel to a number of watershed districts around the state, the Red River, Rice Creek, others. I'm most familiar, of course, with his work on behalf of the Minnehaha Creek Watershed District, I'm sure. Pam Blix can indicate by nodding her head that he's served ably and well. The Minnehaha Creek Watershed District, and also uses opportunity to vouch for Ms. Blix, who has done an outstanding job for many, many years with the Minnehaha Creek Watershed District. They've done just an amazing array of work. You know, that watershed district stretches all the way from Lake Minnetonka all the way along the creek there. So you can imagine the unique challenges of an urban environment that is presented by that watershed district, or presented to that watershed district, and he's done a great job helping them navigate all the regs, the rules, undertake the myriad of projects that require multi-jurisdictional cooperation. We've seen tremendous improvement in the Minneapolis Chain of Lakes water quality, the recent alarm notwithstanding about the presence of 3M chemicals in our bluegill in Lake Calhoun. And actually, Pam Blixt is going to be one of the co-hosts of a meeting we're having on May 10th to get some information out to our neighbors about what exactly is going on there. So Lewis Smith and Pam Blixt are both excellent candidates.
He published the Watershed Rulemaking Handbook. Seems pretty good. And he's an Ollie, so that helps.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Forget the St. Tom's here.
Yeah.
St. Tom's.
I bet if we asked him, Mr. Chair, he'd say it's time to update those rules.
Okay. Any other comments on Mr. Smith? And then does anyone like to comment on Mr. Greer? This is the a city representative. And
Gary Patterson.
He's a
lawyer.
Is he a county commissioner?
Lawyer. It'd be a city.
A city.
City council. City
Albany.
Commission.
Is he council member from the city of Albany?
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good.
Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Pedersen, Gary Pedersen is not here.
Ah, yes,
Mr. And Peterson. I see that he is representing townships, and I certainly want to stand up for the townships, so I'd like to speak on his behalf just because he's from the townships. I admit that I do not know the man, but they wouldn't have given us a bad person from the townships, would they, Senator Berkman? They're all good people in the townships, you know.
From Olmsted County. Very good. Okay, did we miss anyone? Any other questions for the any of the appointees that are here?
Mr. Chair, I don't have a question, but more or less going to make a statement.
All right.
I serve on chair of the Agricultural Committee, and I want this council to work closely with farmers because we do make our living farming. And we're more than willing to work with the environment because we like protect our water probably more than most people. So just remember that agriculture is the greatest industry in this state. More money is made on agriculture and agriculture-related business than anything. So just take that into consideration when you look at your plan.
Yep. Senator Sieben?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'd just like to first thank all the applicants for being here and for your service to the state of Minnesota. I represent District 57, which is in largely in northern Dakota and South Washington County, which has been very impacted by pollution from the 3M company, from perfluorinated chemicals that are now in our drinking water supply. And I think it's incumbent on you, and I hope I would like to encourage the council to study this issue more and to really dig into the science of potential impacts that PFCs can have on environmental and human health. There, as you may or may not know, the 3M company was one of the only manufacturers of these PFCs. So many other states and countries, for that matter, are not as familiar with or don't know how to deal with contamination, and we certainly have among the largest contamination of PFCs in the world in our water supply. So I'd just like to encourage you to look into that issue and provide what leadership you can to the Pollution Control Agency and to us as legislators to help all of us know better how to handle this situation and to advocate for the public's health in this matter.
Senator, Mr. Davis, did you have any particular thoughts on that? Mr. Davis indicates his agreement. Senator Sharon.
Thank you. I would also like to simply make a comment that during this last election, clean water in our state was an enormously important issue to the people that I'm representing, which is in the southern part of the state, in the Mankato-St. Peter area, Sibley County, all of Nicollet County, which has a significant commitment to an agricultural community, but also very concerned about the rivers and the streams and the clean water. So, you know, I am very hopeful that we're able, with resources and then with expertise, to find a way to improve our waters. But my request is, my interest in your service is that there is a lot of political pressure upon us sometimes when we discover and know that there are difficult issues facing us about clean water, and that under that kind of pressure, sometimes you're pressed to solutions that may not, in fact, resolve the problem, expend a lot of time and resources, give false hope to the public. So I really have an expectation that the work that is done is founded on solid science, that we're able to find an approach that really creates the outcome that we're seeking and isn't something that simply creates an action that might lead people to think something's being done, but in the long run does not really impact and achieve the goal that we're trying to achieve under this Clean Water Legacy Act.
Yes, Mr. Peterson.
Committee, to address some of what we've heard, Lewis Smith and I are interim co-chairs of the council, and we're working with not only the PCA, but all of our agency partners in putting together a work plan and a path forward over the next 6 months with action items. So we're not waiting 6 months, but with our action items to move forward. And I want to emphasize that what we have are the strengths that you're talking about. We have the science, but we also have the public policy, and in many cases the agencies, but also our representatives from the environmental groups, from counties, from townships, from cities, who all have their own needs in this area. We in business community wish to support those needs, and our council can move forward with this cross-section approach. And I do believe all of us are committed, so we all will be coming back to you with, you know, some pretty strong opinions, I believe, on what we see needing to be done, and then discussing with you the policy needs at the state to move forward.
It's it reminds me of the new Legislative Citizens Commission on Minnesota Resources, when we all kind of reconstituted this group, and we're, you know, went through some lengthy discussions about what we wanted to do, kind of our new purpose, and your new group kind of reminds me of what we did there. And I think when I spoke to your group, I talked about the major challenges of the Clean Water Council being to provide wisdom on the environment, but you're going to have to be nimble with that wisdom as well. And the dynamic that your group forms within itself will be key to providing that wisdom. We're going to be, I mean, this committee and other committees are going to be looking to you for advice. It's a governor's council. It's a statutory body, and your advice, your comments on whatever we do in this or any other issue is going to be looked upon. And it's going to be strongly considered. And so you have a big task in front of you. Senator Fredrickson?
Mr. Chairman, I've been impressed with the academic expertise and also the real-life experience these appointees are bringing to the council. I would want to thank each of them for their willingness to serve and going through this process of getting appointed. And I would move that the appointees be recommended to the full Senate for confirmation.
Okay. Further discussion? Senator Fredrickson will move to send the appointments we have considered today to the Clean Water Council to the floor with the recommendation for confirmation. Is there further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Congratulations, and the meeting is adjourned.